You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everyone, Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today my special guest is Dale King. And what's really cool about this for me is Dale has really built something of a fitness empire, fitness juggernaut in my hometown, a town that really needed some leadership from someone like this that, you know, could go out and set some positive things in motion. And so it's really exciting to see what he's done with the Portsmouth Spartan Kettlebell Club and now Doc Spartan, which will be featured, Dale and his business partner, Renee Wallace, on Shark Tank here coming up soon. So, you know, a lot of good things happening. And so what I wanted to get into today with Dale was just kind of talk about how this whole journey came to be, how he's built his business, and just seeing how some of these other ancillary opportunities have come along. And, you know, he's put himself in a great spot for that. So welcome, Dale.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate the kind intro. It's awesome to be here, especially with a guy that's come from the same hometown. Man, I think this is pretty cool, brother. I really appreciate you having me on. And more importantly, I appreciate everything that you're doing to kind of help guys in my situation. So thank you for that, man.
Well, my pleasure. And, you know, I think this is going to be a great kind of platform to show a lot of listeners what's possible, because I think that, you know, you'd probably agree Portsmouth is probably not, when people think about, hey, I'm going to go open up, you know, a training business where, you know, the service industry where it's a little bit, usually, hopefully a little bit more high price than just a standard gym membership or that sort of thing. You know, it's not the market when people think, well, hey, there's the ideal place to go. You figured out, you know, how to create something that delivered so much value and impacted so many lives that you've been able to keep growing and scaling up. So let's kind of start back at the beginning of when you opened this business right around 2010. So tell me kind of where you were professionally at that point, you know, what you were doing work-wise and what kind of inspired this.
Yeah, man, I had a full-time gig. I had gotten out of the military in 07 and started working for the federal government at a facility close to home here. And what I had started doing, got hooked onto CrossFit through some buddies when I was in the military, and was just basically kind of doing that on my own here in Portsmouth, because like you said, Portsmouth is a great town to grow up in. It's been going through some struggles, but it's the unhealthiest and the most economically depressed county in Ohio. So it's not exactly some place that an investor is going to give you a bunch of money to go open up a gym in. I had fallen in love with kettlebells and functional training and the whole deal, and was doing that on my own and doing that in the local gym here in town. And a lady saw me doing it, just slinging around kettlebells and doing burpees and stuff, and that was pretty unheard of at the time. And she was going to open up her own facility, and she said, like, I have no clue what you're doing, but would you want to come do that and teach people how to do that in my new place? So I was like, sure, why not? Let's make it happen. And it's a funny story, but the only really place in Ohio at the time that was a CrossFit affiliate was Rogue Fitness. And this was before Rogue Fitness became like the Rogue Fitness. So I went up a couple times and I got trained by Bill, the owner of Rogue Fitness, and kind of picked it up from there and started teaching people how to do a bunch of kettlebell swings and snatches and cleans and press. And that was like January 2010. And that grew from like three or five people a class to eventually to where we were growing out of that place. And a buddy came up to me and said, hey, man, there's an abandoned warehouse down the street, kind of where no one has ever been before. There's no heating, no air conditioning, and it leaks when it rains, and it's cold in the winter and hot in the summer. And I was like, all right, man, let's make it happen. So in August of 2010, we opened up PSKC, Portsmouth Spartan Kettlebell Club.
Very cool. So, I mean, at that point, you're still, working full time and you're doing this kind of on the side. I mean, so how did you go about growing this business?
Well, it never was the intention of being a business, which looking back is obviously a mistake, but it was something I had a passion for and had a love for, and still obviously do have a passion and a love for that. So I zero business school, zero business book ever read. It was just like, all right, my rent, I've figured out a way to, the lady was going to charge me $300 a month in rent. And then if we were still in business 6 months later, then she was going to charge me the going rate after that. So I kind of like did a bunch of meathead math and figured, well, if I charge five people a workout, I just need X amount of people to come in a month to cover the rent. So that was my grand business plan going forward, is just charge $5 a workout and then kind of hope we got enough to cover the rent. And I didn't want to do it. I was working for the Department of Energy. I was a federal employee, retirement benefits, the whole deal. I just really loved working out and, being from the military, I had a love for training and teaching people. So I had built up a little money in savings and took $8,000 out and backed the Rogue and bought a bunch of kettlebells, bought a 14-foot wall-mounted rig, and that was it, man. Bought some stall mats, and that's what we had. So my ultimate criteria was, if it failed and went tits up, I would have a sweet home gym for the rest of my life. And that was like, all right, dude, let's see what happens. And we opened on a Saturday, and people have been coming ever since, man.
So one of the things that I have noticed, and this is from afar, so you can certainly correct me on
Absolutely.
anything I'm kind of skipping over or whatever else, is that you have done just an enormous amount of work in the community, a lot of charity work, a lot of stuff where you are supporting good causes. And I think that not only has that given you some media attention, I'll read the local Portsmouth Daily Times online and I'd see some stuff in the paper where they would, give you some media attention for good work that you were doing. Certainly, saw people sharing various things through social media. So, well, you may not have gone through kind of the traditional advertising approach to business growth. You've done a lot of work, it seems like, going out there and doing things that made people feel like they could be a part of something, something bigger than themselves, something that was positive, something that just was going to, make their lives and their community better. And it seems like that certainly played a big part in causing your business to become more visible and to spread and become almost
Right.
magnetic in some ways. At least that's from an observation standpoint, that's what it kind of looked like.
Yeah, man. Other than fitness, my two big loves in life are the military and my hometown. And earlier we kind of talked about the unique demographics that Portsmouth has to offer. And I get asked this a lot, and I don't think I would be anywhere near as successful if I was in Columbus or Cincinnati, just because I'm not from there and it's not the small town feel. So the lessons I learned in the military, I was a intelligence officer in a special forces unit, and those guys kind of took me under their wing and made me feel a part of the unit, even though I wasn't a Green Beret. And that really always stuck with me, is that, the people are out of shape. It just comes down to they don't feel confident and they don't feel secure. And when you go to a normal gym, it's just you versus the machines or you versus everybody else. You kind of walk in there and you plug your headphones on, and it's just like it's an unnecessary battle. You shouldn't have to go to a place where you feel uncomfortable. And that was kind of my, I didn't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. If you had the guts to come in, because the word got out, what we weren't doing, foo-foo patty cake stuff. It was very hard work. And I thought, if you have the guts to come in and want to try it out and keep coming back, you're family. Like, you're part of the tribe, man. Like, And that was my main operating theory from day one, is like, you come in, like, we'll take care of it. You bust your ass for us, we're going to bust our ass for you. And we wanted everybody to feel like they were a part of something, because it's just that people need to feel a part of a unit, of a tribe. Nowadays, man, like, you just don't get that. Like, if you're an athlete in high school, and if you're fortunate enough to go on and play college, you graduate, and then it's like, all right, man, that part of your life is done. And it doesn't need to be that way. And I wanted to create something to kind of fill that gap in people's lives.
So in many regards, you basically created the gym that you'd want to be a member of.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I fell victim to that, because you'll hear a lot of guys that have issues transitioning back into the civilian world. And it's not so much a matter, like, you know, guys are, veterans nowadays get a huge bad rap and a stigma of, like, this drunken alcoholic guy dealing with PTSD. And really, dude, all that's just BS. What the problem is guys are used to belonging to such a tight-knit tribe and family that when they decide to get out, they don't have that anymore. And it's a huge void in their life. And it was a huge void in my life. Like, all right, dude, thank you for your service. Like, you know, you spend your early to mid-20s literally dealing with life and death, seeing life and death situations, and, you know, creating the strongest bonds you could ever under those kind of stresses, and you don't feel a part of anything anymore. If you're lucky enough to get a good job like I had, there still was a gap. And it helped me transition back just by kind of creating the atmosphere and the place that I would love and feel a part of. And it's just like, we work hard, but we play harder, and we have fun doing it.
So just to give people some context, because, you know, I'm watching this from afar, but it seems like, you know, you guys do some charity events, you guys do a lot of things, even just getting together and watching college football together, whatever else, but it seems like there's a lot
right.
of community-driven stuff. Would you mind giving a couple examples of things that people who are part of PSKC do together, just so people get a visual?
If we get a bad rap about anything, like, people call us a cult. And it's just because when you're part of a team, you go to your teammate's wedding. You go hang out and you have beers and you watch football. You have events at, you know, we'll host events at our gym. Friday after the last class, we're going to sit back and we're going to have some beers. Anybody can come down and do it. We're really big on social events. For example, this is actually a pretty good example. Last Saturday, as much as I like working out, like, I love a good beer. The guys here at the Party Connection, the local beer store, put on a craft beer festival. And I thought, man, it'd be cool if we could do like a chug and run team relay. And we'll get teams together and they'll pay an entry fee and the proceeds will go to a nonprofit that I'm a part of called Team Some Assembly Required. And we had 80 people from the gym get together, put a four-person team, drink a beer, and go run a 400-meter lap and do a team event that way. So, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of what we do. You know, we'll do fundraising workouts for either people that might need help here in the community or from the gym, or it might just be a part of a national fundraiser. So it makes no sense to run a successful business if you can't help people out along the way. So that's kind of what we like doing. And we like to, like I said, man, work hard, play hard, and do some good along the way.
Very cool. So before we get into kind of how your business grew to the point that you're able to go into that full time, let's talk about the nonprofit, you know, the Team Some Assembly Required, because that was one of the things I noticed early on, just, you know, seeing you guys out doing a variety of things to support charities, be it local or regional or whatever else, or even when some really traumatic things befell individuals in the community. I mean, you guys seemed like you were getting behind everybody, and again, sounds funny, but I feel like in many regards it's like the best marketing that you've done, because people want to belong, and so there's this visibility
right.
of, hey, I want to belong to something bigger. So let's talk about your nonprofit for a minute.
Team Some Assembly Required, Team SAR, is a national 501c3 nonprofit, and essentially TeamStar is a group of adaptive athletes. And adaptive athlete is a term used to describe, we have both veteran and civilian adaptive athletes, so men and women who've either lost a leg or arm or combination thereof, whether that was through being combat wounded or injured in a motorcycle accident or congenital, born that way. So these guys compete in fitness-based sports at a very high level, whether that's competing in adaptive CrossFit or powerlifting, Olympic lifting, Paralympics, endurance-based, obstacle course racing. We've kind of scoured the country to find the best adaptive athletes and put them on a team to kind of further the mission of adaptive athletics, so giving them more chances for training, competing, to basically kind of push the message that, like, from a national level, that, like, hey, no matter if you're feeling sorry for yourself or if you feel that you just can't wake up in the morning and get a sweat in, like, we've got a bunch of guys who'd love to have two arms, two legs, and a functional body. So there's really no excuse to not wake up in the morning and be appreciative for what you have and go get after it. And it started, I had a buddy in college. We were in ROTC together, and he later went on a few years after I did to join the Army. And he was a platoon leader in Afghanistan, and he got hit by a rocket and lost his leg from basically the hip down. And the guy was a freak athlete, like still one of the strongest guys I know. And this was 2010, so around that time, working for the Department of Energy, and I was in D.C. at the time that he got flown back into Walter Reed, like literally right off the battlefield. So I was fortunate enough to see one of my best friends coming in off the battlefield in Walter Reed, and that was, as much as he was dealing with it, it was a pretty emotional experience for me as well, because that was my first time at Walter Reed. But as he transitioned out and surgery after surgery after surgery, finally he was medically retired, and he really didn't know what he was going to do in the civilian world. And I was like, well, dude, I just kind of opened up a gym. I'll help you get your feet wet and get going that way. And so what we decided to do was enter him into a competition. And this was the first time an adaptive athlete had competed against able-bodied athletes in the same competition, no modifications, no scaling. And we did that at the Arnold Classic. And people went nuts because he was getting after it and beating folks at their own game. And so from there, the folks at the Arnold Classic asked us to come back next year and then see if we could put a team together. So my buddy Derek was like, yeah, we'll do it. And we had kind of no idea how we would do that. And he's like, we'll call it Team Some Assembly Required. And that's kind of how I got started, man.
Well, I mean, again, that's it. This whole kind of organic growth, you know, we'll get into it a little bit more with the Doc Spartan stuff, because it just seems like there's this common thread that runs through so much of this, where the gym and then your passion for, you know, having an impact, helping the community, helping other people, creating a cohesive point of connection for everyone. And I mean, it's just opened more doors. It's allowed you to have more impact. And then in return, the gym obviously has grown. You guys have moved into a bigger space that I got to check out not too long ago. It looks like it had kind of a fresh makeover there. And
yeah.
And you're full time.
Yeah, man.
Doing this stuff now. So can you talk about that growth and that kind of evolution?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this is a fitness business podcast, so we need to give you guys some good tidbits. But basically, in 2010, like I said, I was doing the $5 a workout kind of thing, and really realized that wasn't gonna be a recipe for success, for long-term success. And then as the years kind of passed, I kind of thought I was growing less and less interested in my full-time job, and kind of like the dream of having my own place became more and more an all-consuming obsession. But I really had little skin in the game. So we were outgrowing our warehouse space, and this building came available about 2.5 years ago for sale. And then at that point, I bought it, and then that's when it was like, all right, well, now it's serious, because if no one shows up anymore, I just can't pack my stuff up and have a sweet home gym. Now I've got a business mortgage on the line. You know, I had a lot of risk involved. So as I bought the building, it was like, all right, now it's time to take it serious. Now it's time to really dial down business-wise and treat this as a business. And that's when I stopped reading less fitness books and started picking up more and more business books to self-educate. Because like I said, dude, I had no background in being an entrepreneur or being a business, but I knew how to read. So I just started reading more and more and, you know, trying different things here and there. So we bought the building and we had to tear everything out of it, put up a gym, and then slowly over time became more and more serious, got more and more coaches involved, and was able to generate more revenue to the point to where I was finally able to break free from my full-time government job. So June of 2015, I packed up and said goodbye to benefits, retirement, and the whole deal, and, you know, became a full-time gym owner at the same time. And fortunately, about a month after that, so now we're talking July of 2015, my business partner and Doc Spartan, we started talking. Her name is Renee, and what she was doing was she was making all-natural lotions and selling them, because she's been at the gym since 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. So she's been around it since the warehouse days. And she started really kind of experimenting with all-natural lotions, and she was making kind of stuff for her kids as well. And she started selling them to the females in the gym. And I was like, hey, is there any way, like, because, you know, dealing, you see all kinds of, whether it's ripped hands or scraped shins or, you know, whatever a normal gym wear and tear can cause. You know, I've been seeing that for 5 or 6 years just from owning a gym. But more importantly, dealing with the guys from Team SAR, when they compete where their limb fits into their prosthetic, they can get some pretty nasty wounds and rashes from the course of competition. So I approached her now. I was like, hey, like, we need to figure out a way to make some sort of first aid ointment. And we could just sell it here out of the gym to the folks at PSKC, and then we can hook it up to the guys on Team SAR. So she kind of went to the lab, aka her kitchen, and started experimenting with different prototypes, and that's kind of how Doc Spartan came to existence about a year ago.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, when I look at this, and I'm the guy who is constantly trying to simplify things in my mind because I just don't do well with complex topics or viewpoints. You know, I see this, and the gym is giving you this platform to, you know, have an impact in the community and to even get beyond the community and go nationally with Team SAR. And now it's also opened doors for you to create ancillary revenue opportunities and businesses that just come from you, you know, making a difference, or growth that comes from you making a difference, and it just kind of snowballs. So with the gym itself, I mean, where are you guys now? How many members do you have? I know there's a team of coaches. You guys are doing a lot of good things. So just so people kind of get a picture of, hey, this was something that you were charging $5 a head for with, you know, four or five people, to where you are today, where you own your own building. You know, can you give us kind of a overview of the scope of things now?
Yeah, man. We have, not only is myself full-time, but we have three other full-time coaches, and we have, outside of that, we have five or six part-time coaches as well. So it's not just me that relies on the gym to support a full-time income. We have three other folks as well. And, I mean, I would say between regular CrossFit gym membership, we run a unloaded/boot camp style. We do CrossFit Kids. We do sports training. We do several personal training. But I would say across all programs, we're pushing north of 200 members/clients that are coming through the door. And that's big for us. Portsmouth is under 20,000 people. So, you know, to be able to get around 200 members, clients in a 20,000-person town is pretty good, especially when we're charging three times the normal gym rate for the area as well. So it's going, you know, we're very blessed, going great. That doesn't have anything to do with me. That's the people, the team of coaches and the staff here. that's out there, the ones on the floor making a difference.
Yeah, I mean, when somebody steps back and takes a look at this and they understand the economics of the community, and you know, and I have a great affection for my hometown as well, but I mean, man, the truth of the matter is there's just not a lot of disposable income there. There's not.
No, there really isn't.
You know, the average household income is really low. I mean, in the mid 20,000 range.
Right.
You know, the poverty level's high. You know, it's a tough environment for, you know, a business that's going to charge, you know, a normal rate for a high quality fitness experience, a coaching driven experience where you're not just renting out
right.
the stuff, you're actually part of something and you're getting coached. And so to be able to do that and be able to do that, you know, at that level is such a testament to the brand that you've created, the community and the impact that you developed. So, you know, I think that when people, you know, like to think about, well, wait a minute, I don't know, is my town, you know, too small? Is my market not strong enough to support this gym? And there are other people offering gym memberships, you know, local health clubs to the hospital-supported fitness facility
right.
to the university. So it's not like there was a complete void. It's just, you know, you came in and offered something different and better. And because of that, you were able to develop a market that I think a lot of people wouldn't have thought, well, it was even a possibility. So, you know, I think this is a wonderful case study, you know, somebody being willing to do something different and committing to just being better and it paying off. So let's transition for a second and talk about the Doc Spartan stuff, because that's really taken off. And, you know, you were kind enough to throw some samples my way, and you're putting out a great product, which is kind of a hallmark of all this. But, you know, how do you go from, you know, Renee, your business partner, creating some concoctions, bringing them in the gym to support some of your group, to, I know, getting them listed on Rogue's website, to even now getting featured on Shark Tank? I mean,
yeah,
how
man.
Does that evolution happen?
I keep finding myself in situations to where, like, you got to find a way. So, like, you know, if you jump in the middle of the pool and you can't swim, you'll quickly become one of the best swimmers ever. Well, that's what happened with the gym, and that's what's happening currently with Doc Spartan. So it was solely, the only reason it was just a way to offer it to the members in the gym. Like, there was no master plan that we were going to take this and make this a national brand. It was just something. I have a small retail shop inside of the gym here, and, you know, it was a need. I'm like a knuckle-dragging meathead, man, so I'm always like, whether, you know, I'm hitting the bag or doing long runs, I'm either busting my knuckles up or getting blisters on my feet. And the advice is, you know, rub some dirt on it and move on. But we wanted to make something that was cool, basically, for guys to use, because if it doesn't fit the kind of more of a masculine feel, guys just won't use it. And like I said, I'm one of the biggest meatheads out there. So I figured if I would like it and use it, some other guys would as well. So we just started making it, and we used the test market for the people in the gym. And we're like, here, we just started handing it out and saying, hey, you know, if you have any kind of first aid needs, rub this on there and give us feedback. And within a month, like, people were raving about it. It had far exceeded any of our expectations. You know, they're using it on for everything from ripped hands to they were healing tattoos with it. And then the moms were taking it home and treating the little ones' boo-boos and even diaper rash. And so we kind of thought, well, we might have something that other people would like to use as well. So we would just kind of promote it here and there on Facebook, and then we opened up a Instagram account. And the Instagram account is really kind of what spearheaded our success from there. And then kind of just based upon the connections and the network that I had made from being in the gym business for 5 years at that point, people were like, hey, man, like, can I get, you know, do you guys offer wholesale? Can I get that at my gym? Folks would love it here. And we just figured out a way to make that happen. it's just like anything else. You just continued to push and make things happen. And it was being made in Renee's kitchen. And she was like, she had a full-time job too. And she was putting in long hours. And we kind of divided up the responsibilities that she's like the chief scientist in charge. And I'm kind of in charge of sales and marketing. And we ended up sponsoring some events here and there. And that led to, we got an email back in March from a producer from Shark Tank saying, hey, I've seen you guys all over the place, and I think you would be a good fit for the show. So we were like, sure, we'll try that out.
So, you know, I mean, I know that you can't really disclose any of the outcomes there or whatever else, so we'll do something as a follow-up a little later on to talk about that experience, because I'm sure that's fascinating. But again, I mean, man, it all comes back to, and I appreciate the self-depreciating perspective, but I mean, a lot of times it seems like, yeah, you put yourself in good situations by doing great work and by creating opportunities, maybe not necessarily seeing the potential for them, because I don't know that somebody sits around and sees the potential that, hey, they might go on Shark Tank at some point, but you saw the potential to have an offering that could help some people. So
right, yeah.
With that, before we kind of wrap this all up, one of the things that I really like to do with the podcast is to, you know, ask, hey, do you have 1, 2, 3 tips for people who might be kind of just, you know, getting by as a business owner and they're looking to scale up, to take their business to the next level, to have more impact, to generate more income, to make the business maybe more aligned with what they really want out of their business. So, you know, 1, 2, 3 tips for that you think would be valuable.
I would say first, like, you have to find what your purpose is on this world. And, you know, that's kind of a cliche in it, and that's becoming more and more of a popular thing now. But, like, if you're not working towards what you think you're put here on earth to do, then you're wasting your time. And like, I didn't, when I was like a 10-year-old kid, I didn't think like I would grow up and be in the all natural first aid business. But what I think my purpose here is, I want to show people that in my hometown, because it's been through such a rough 20, 30 years, that like, you can be the reason for change. You can be the reason for good. And if that means I'm doing that through a small company, which hopefully has the potential to do a lot of big things here in the future, that's what I'm here for. Like, that's why I wake up every morning. And I solely believe that, like, we all, like, woke up today and we're one day closer to death. Regardless if that's tomorrow or, you know, God willing, that's 60, 70 years from now. Like, we're all literally one day closer to death. So we've got to stop wasting time and just stop giving in to stuff that doesn't fulfill our purpose in life. So that would be number one. Find out what you're supposed to do and start doing it. Number two is, you got to care. Whether you're a gym business or, you know, whether you're in the service or you're the product business, like, show people you care. And if you just do that, if you show people that you legitimately care, that, like, whether, like, you're showing them how to squat, and then, like, the next day you follow up with them and you want to see how they're doing, and you, like, legitimately show an affection for your customer or for your athlete, people will remember that. Because there's so much, like, non-caring going on in the world, and people are so consumed and so obsessed with their own personal dealings that, like, if you can just look somebody in the eye and just let them know that you care, like, they will remember that. And they're going to be the one you want to do business with. So that would be my two biggest ones, man. There's all kinds of, you know, tactical and technical things you can do to grow your business and stuff like that. But if you're not waking up every day, walking towards your path in life, you're wasting your time. And then once you kind of figure, if you do have your business, just go out of your way. Even if it means like you're going to take a short-term loss on something, that's okay. Because you're going to show people they're going to care, and that's going to be your repeat customer, whether that's they repeat your business the next week and then hope for the whole duration that you're in business.
Very cool. And you know, what's interesting is, you know, I think from the outside looking in, I mean, that's the stuff that you kind of wear on your sleeve. And I think that's like when we talk about, you know, somebody building a brand and somebody wanting to be known for something. I mean, I think obviously that's a driver in your business's growth because, I mean, that's it. That's what you've done. I think that if somebody is going to ask a person in Portsmouth, Ohio about you, what you just talked about is, you know, a lot of what they'd say. So, you know, being pretty authentic about who you are and what you stand for, it's been a big driver. So, man, I appreciate it a bunch that you've been here. Now, if somebody wants to learn more about the stuff that you're doing with the gym, the stuff you're doing with Doc Spartan, the stuff you're doing with the nonprofit, I mean, where can we send them so they can learn more or maybe even become a distributor for Doc Spartan if that's an option?
If you own a gym or any sort of retail location and you want a cool little additional stream of revenue, just hit up DocSpartan.com. And you guys can always just email me at dale@docspartan.com. So super easy that way. And the cool thing is, like, I own a gym myself, and I know what it's like to get hit and solicited with wholesale deals all the time. So we designed our wholesale program for the gym owner because I know exactly what it's like. And so you just want something easy, simple to start out with and be something that you can offer your clients and make a little money doing that as well. If you guys have any questions about how we do our gym stuff, you can just hit up pskcstrong.com. And if you're looking for a great nonprofit to support, just go over to teamsumassemblyrequired.com. And like I said, if there's anybody out there has any questions, any help, just shoot me at one of those emails. I always love helping guys out because the more people out there doing good, that's a win-win for everybody.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you, Dale. And, you know, I'll have those links in the show notes. So thanks again to everybody listening in to this episode. I'm sure you picked up some great nuggets and a lot of inspirations. Thanks a lot for listening to The Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut-and-paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.